Today on Laura Lynn and Friends.
Anyone around the world, whether it's a doctor, a nurse, a politician, who's still telling people they need to get boosters and that they should be injected, primarily pregnant women, children, babies, the elderly. I hope at some point in time, Laura Lynn, that they will be charged with first degree murder.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the beginning of the last days. You know that I'm in southern Manitoba right now, and there is an election of all elections going on, and it's a fight, let me tell you. When we get set in our ways that we have to vote, you know, one certain way, and then somebody new comes along, there's some conversations that need to happen. And so we're having those conversations. I'm very happy about it. I believe that this riding, these are God-fearing. This is salt of the earth area of Canada. These people love God. They love their families. They want the protection of the unborn. They want the transgender nonsense to stop. And it is just rampant through here. And, I was tweeting as well today. I mean, I'm sad to see that, Pierre Poilievre is, you know, congratulating the Pride Month and supporting that. I don't know why a group of people based on their sexuality get a month. Do you? I'm not down with that. Who said this was a thing, or, you know, why this has to happen? We have the Pride flag flying over the Parliament. Not a word is said about that. I don't understand what's happening to our country, why we're so silent when it's really easy. Don't fly anyone's flag at our Parliament, fly the Canadian flag. Fly a veteran's flag, maybe people that fought for the country. I think that makes sense. But a certain group who have their own certain way, if you're gonna fly their flag and what they believe, then you need to fly the Christian flag. And maybe you need to fly all of the religions that are represented in our country, because really transgenderism has become a religion. It really has. And it's becoming increasingly a religion that is being forced on our children in a country that is based on Judeo-Christian values. How does this make sense? And we're all silent. Don't fly your flags. Don't put your crosswalks down. You know, unless you're going to do that for all the people groups, then just don't do it at all. And so, but quite clearly, Pierre Poilievre, who is probably going to be our next prime minister, does not understand that. So this is why we stand and we fight and we speak. And me personally, in my life, I don't want my children, or, you know, in my sphere, whatever people believe in their adult lives is fine, but I don't want that taught to my children. And millions and millions and millions of Canadians, especially conservative Canadians, don't want it either. So I'm not sure why you're doing that, Mr. Poilievre. Very interesting. I want to read to you today from Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And we really are at a season and a time when we need to put on the full armor of God in order to be able to stand and to stand strong in all that's going on. We have an incredible guest, and we're not going to waste any time in getting to Dr. Tenpenny. You might have seen recently, a lot of you actually have been watching the new movie. Now, I'm going to say right here that we're probably going to have to let go of Facebook and YouTube. Please head over right now to Rumble. And we're going to put that in the chat description. I think Shane will make sure that it's in the chat so that you can click on it and it'll take you right to the show. And that'll be an easy way for you to get there. If not, you can go to rumble.com and put my name in, Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson. It's going to pop up. I do have two channels in there, but it's the one with the more followers, 30,000 followers or whatever. Okay, so before we introduce Dr. Tenpenny, who I just want to, let's actually look at this recent, because she was featured actually and had a role there in the new Plandemic movie. So let's take a look at that.
My mission, actually, for the last 23 years has been to inform people about the problems associated with vaccines, that they're not safe, they don't keep you from getting sick, they're not necessary, and they absolutely cause harm. And I'm talking about all of them, the entire pediatric schedule and, of course, the COVID jabs.
Well, I was going to go get a booster shot after this premiere, but maybe not anymore. I've heard Robert F. Kennedy Jr. say he's not necessarily against vaccines. He's just against unsafe vaccines. He just never found a safe one. So you're saying your work is you just think they're all suspect.
I do, and I think that's a pretty good way to saying it. Wouldn't it be great if we could take out all of the metals, all the chemicals? You know, for years when I was a board-certified emergency medicine physician working in the ER, I really thought that the only thing in a vaccine was a little dead or attenuated virus and a little bit of normal saline. It wasn't until September of 2000 that I actually read a package insert, and when I actually read a package insert and started researching all the different vaccines, I was mortified that if a child gets all of the vaccines in the entire schedule, they get almost 13,000 micrograms of aluminum, and they get almost 600 micrograms of mercury, plus over 200 different chemicals. And I had no idea. So that's why they've never been proven to be safe, and why giving your child a vaccination is like injecting foreign matter into a little baby that's the most precious little thing in your life.
So very true. Wow. Do you know, I just think about that. It was the thing to do when I had my kids many years ago. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, you graduated from the A.T. Still University in Kirksville. It's the Kirksville College of Osteopathic Medicine. And I think you currently live still down in Cleveland, Ohio. So you're coming to us from the United States of America. We sure do love having you. We thank you for your courage. I was just out with a friend today, and she was saying that you were one of the first people that when all the COVID nonsense was beginning and the push for the vaccines and all of that, she was really listening to you. And you gave her so much information that caused her to make decisions. And so I appreciate that. Welcome to the show. Thank you very much. What was it like being down at the premiere for this movie that you've got a little part in?
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. It's always good to go to events like that, and you run into people that are your friends and colleagues that you only see once a year, once every couple of years at big events like that. So it's a really good connection. It's good networking with other people that you've always wanted to meet, but we're never in the same space with them. Mickey and his crew did a really great job in setting everything up beforehand, and then that little clip what you saw, there was a big long line of media people from various media outlet, and that's where they had what they called the red carpet talks. And so you just went from person to person to person to person, you know, like with Alex Jones and InfoWars, and then of course that was with JP Sears, and yeah, just a whole bunch of people that were along there. You know, Mickey Willis's crew, nice. Del Bigtree's crew. It was just a lot of fun. And they just ask questions, and you've got like, you know, 2 minutes to just say your thing, and you move to the next little slot, the next little slot. And then we all went into the movie, and it was very good. It was a very well done, historically documenting, rather sober movie. It was not a something that it was kind of like go team rah-rah. It was very thought-provoking, and it really gave you a historical backdrop of the failure of all the isms, the socialism, the communism, the Marxism, all, you know, the fascism, all of these different things. It showed you how they've always failed. And the next generation comes along and says, well, if we just tweaked it a little bit, it could probably be successful this time, which it won't be, and it never will be. And it told us how, and there was a lot of stuff in there about Trudeau and a lot about Canada. I would say probably the first 20 minutes of the film was focused on what was happening in Canada, from the tyrannical shutdowns to the truckers to, you know, all the things across Canada and all the ways that Canadians have fought back, being such a small country, kind of giving Americans, which have their, you know, 320 million people, like, you better get with the program, because we are dangling from a thread of whether or not our country is still going to be here 3 to 5 years from now.
Wow. I really can't wait to see that. I have seen it come across my text several times, and I have got to make an effort to really, I'm so busy right now, but I have got to see that. And I thank you for being part of that. I was at the Truckers Convoy, and it was actually one of the finest and most authentic moves of God that this country has ever seen. And of course, it made sense that the mainstream media would paint it and would change the narrative, and really that our government, especially Trudeau, came against us so strongly. So Dr. Tenpenny, as we progress away from the vaccines, what are you hearing now about this very bad thing that we went through, where many of our Canadians lost their jobs? In fact, they still don't have their jobs back. And doctors are still being told they must be vaccinated in British Columbia. They are still enforcing it. And this is under Dr. Bonnie Henry, who has shown herself to be truly a globalist, not caring about the people. But what are some of the things that now you can say with even more certainty about the harms of what has been forced on us?
Well, we knew 3 months, and you know, the Pfizer shot was released in December of 2020. The AstraZeneca and J&J shot was released in January of 21. By March of 21, there were enough adverse event signals that it should have been pulled from the market globally at that point in time. In March of 2021, it should have stopped. And then when the Pfizer documents came out a few months later, what the court ordered them to come out, their first one of the first tranches of papers that came out was a 38-page paper that showed more than 1,200 diseases, conditions, and side effects that took more than 400 people to document. There were so many adverse events that were coming in from their field trials that they should have never been released ever. It was never about safety. It was never about stopping transmission. It was never about lowering the hospitalization rate. It was seeing how far that they could push the global population into submission of wearing a mask, this nonsense of social distancing, allowing their nasal passages to be repeatedly crammed with a Q-tip all the way up into the base of their skull on those long skewers, and then to inject them with foreign matter that had never been tested, had no long-term studies, that was completely experimental. We, to this day, still don't know what all the ingredients are in any of those shots. We know a few things, but we don't know the entire ingredients because they're still issued under an EUA, an emergency use authorization, which means they can change them and tweak them and change the formulas and change the shots anytime they want without telling anybody. They can change up to 90% of that package insert without telling anyone. And we know that many of the shots had been tinkered with, that certain lot numbers had certain ingredients. We don't know what the ingredients were, but we know that from the German data, when you see the spikes in side effects on different lot numbers, you know that those lot numbers had different ingredients in them. So in July of 21, I did a presentation called the 40 mechanisms of injury of how the COVID shots can make you sick or make you chronically sick or kill you. That presentation, if people are interested in getting it, is still available at drtenpenny.com under the, I believe it's under the podcast area, but you can search for it because I think it was one of the best presentations I've ever done. And that was in July of 21. And since that time, 2 years later, everything that I said and everything that was coming out very early has just been further documented, that these shots are killing and murdering people. And COVID as an infectious process or whatever that was making people sick is mostly gone. But the hockey stick of death and disability will continue for at least another 10 years. And so people who say, well, I got the shots and I seem to be just fine, need to be looking over their shoulder for many more years before they can actually say that they are no longer, that they no longer have any problems, and that they're no longer at risk. You know, to be able to say that, to be able to continue to push people to still get these shots it's a murder tool. It's a murder weapon. It should never, ever, ever have been. And for people that are still doing it, it's absolutely an impossibility for them. It's actually a criminal crime for them to be doing that.
Wow. I mean, that about sums it up. And we're having a, a lot of understanding that I think it's well over 170 healthy doctors have died in Canada. Dr. William Mackis is outlining the number of extraordinary deaths of healthy young doctors that have died, and also the kids that have paid the price because they were forced to be vaccinated to do sports and all of that kind of thing. When you say that, like I've seen these videos that it seems like labs can go into a lab and they can kind of dissect some of these shots and what was in them. One of the things that Dr. Buttar said on the final interview that I had with him, the final interview of his life, actually, before Dr. Buttar was gone, was that he was saying to a CNN reporter that these shots weren't meant to take out everybody all at once, that there seems to be a like different portions of bad stuff in different batches.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about different lot numbers had different things. And that was from the German data that you could see that because you would have on the y-axis, it would tell you the number of deaths and side effects. And on the x-axis, it would give you what the lot number was, what the lot number was on that shot. And so you'd see, the line would go along and then suddenly there'd be a big spike. And then it would come back down and then it would go along and it'd be a smaller spike. And you know that each one of those spikes were representative of different ingredients, different mixtures that were inside of these shots. If they would have done this so that everybody would have gotten the worst case scenario shot all at the same time, and all the people that we know, there are more than 20 million people have died from these shots worldwide. That data came out in October of last year. So it's been another whole, 7 months or so. And that was published out of the UK, that more than 20 million people worldwide, looking at three government databases, they crunched these numbers of more than 20 million people have died from side effects of the shots, and that more than 2.1 billion with a B people have been injured and or made chronically disabled worldwide from these shots. Now that was published in October of 22. So you can only imagine how much more that's been along that line. I mean, Ed Dowd's book, when his book, Cause Unknown, just documents graft after graft after graft after graft of all these hockey stick things that are going up. The 11 standard deviations above the mean of the number of people that have been injured and harmed by these shots. So anyone around the world, whether it's a doctor, a nurse, a politician who's still telling people they need to get boosters and that they should be injected, primarily pregnant women, children, babies, the elderly, they are actually at, I hope at some point in time, Laura Lynn, that they will be charged with first degree murder, because we now know the data is irrefutable that what's coming through those shots doesn't keep you from getting sick, doesn't stop transmission, doesn't lower the hospitalization rate, and will probably kill you even if you've only had one injection. It's just a travesty. And for that to be, for politicians to continue to advocate it, for physicians to still, or nurses to still delivering it, is a crime against humanity.
It truly is. And that has led us to really question the entire issue of vaccinating our children and vaccines in general. I wanted to show you this clip. It's very old and it talks about vaccines, and then I'd like to get your feedback on it.
JB, have time to speak. Go ahead.
The devil is always in the details. And one of the problems with vaccines is they've been so great that people overly generalize about them as if they're only great. We looked at other first world countries. We're 34th in under 5 mortality behind such luminaries as Cuba and Slovenia. However, we have 36 vaccines. The top 5, which include countries like Finland, Norway, Iceland, average 11 and 13 vaccines. From 1994, we added 8 vaccines to our schedule. There are vaccines like flu, rotavirus, varicella that have only been picked up by 2 or 3 of the other 30 countries. So what do they know that we don't? Why aren't they picking up vaccines that have been around for 15 years? And why are their autism rates 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,500, 1 in 2,000? It doesn't take a brain surgeon or an ER doctor to figure out there might be a correlation.
We don't want to be too narrow-minded and say it's only the vaccines and ignore other potential problems.
In my opinion, and this is just me wanting to have an open debate about this, vaccines are really the one thing we have looked at as causing autism.
Yeah, I agree with
that. That is completely bogus. That is such a bogus statement. How many vaccines have they looked at in these studies? How many? What's the answer? It's two. How many ingredients have they studied of 35? What's the answer? It's one. You've looked at two of 36 shots and one of 35 vaccines, and you're going to stand on the stage and say that vaccines and autism are unrelated? It is the most bogus tobacco science. It's a smokescreen. Anybody who takes the time to read it would agree. I'm so sick of doctors who don't read the studies, who don't know the details, sitting here telling parents and reassuring them that vaccines don't cause autism. It is irresponsible.
And this is the biggest problem and the reason that doctors in this country are frustrated.
Read the
because,
science.
Listen, all you're doing is you're antagonizing a medical community that wants to help these kids.
You haven't done the research.
You're antagonizing me. You're antagonizing Dr. Sears.
Right.
Why would you do that? This show is all about his
son.
Everyone wants to blame someone, right? Yes. This is what we're trying to figure out here is how to help kids. But all you do when you yell at me on my stage, all you do is anger me.
I'm sorry.
Wow. So what do you get out of that exchange?
Well, J.B. Hadley's been around for a while. He's a great researcher. He's a good dad. He's written a lot of good books. And that film was about 9 or 10 years ago, that clip from the doctors. And I just want to say, you're yelling at me. Quit yelling at me. It's like, seriously? Like, oh, my gosh. I mean, how embarrassing is that? You know, you're yelling at me on my stage. Don't be doing that. Because JB was absolutely right. He was pinning them against the wall and saying, and why haven't you read the research? And you say it's been thoroughly studied. Two vaccines and one ingredient out of 36 vaccines and innumerable ingredients now. And that was 9 years ago. And now the schedule has gotten, they've had additional years from that little clip to read the science and to understand the connection. Somebody told me, I did an interview with somebody a couple days ago, and they said that the autism rate now, it was two days ago. The autism rate now in the state of California is 1 in 22 children. 1 in 22. I mean, it should like make your head blow up. I mean, you know, when it was 1 in 100, and then it went to 1 in 47, then 1 in 36. Now it's 1 in 22. When are they going to stop? When are they going to understand when it's 100%? And then we normalize autism as the new normal of these kids banging their heads against the wall, not being able to read, write, not being able to go to the bathroom by themselves. You know, we've got high, because autism is not just a one size fits all a diagnosis. There's high functioning autisms with kids that are pretty smart and they just have some quirky behavior. There's really severe autism that they never speak. They can never live on their own. They're in 30 years old and still in diapers. I mean, autism is a continuum of symptoms, and some kids are severely injured, and some kids are die from these shots. Many children die from their childhood vaccines, and yet doctors will never make the connection. They'll say, "Oh, it just happens sometimes. We're so sorry for your loss." You know, it's like if your dog gets run over by a truck, just go get another one. I mean, if something happens to your child, just, you know, try again. I mean, it's just the medical industry when it comes to vaccines. And I've been doing this for 23 years, Laura Lynn. I've spent more than 50,000 hours of my own personal research time digging through the science, reading what J.B. Hadley was talking about in that little clip, reading what Del Bigtree talks about, Bobby Kennedy, all the rest of us that have been doing this for a very long time, that vaccines are not safe. They don't keep you from getting sick. They're definitely not necessary. You can see all the completely unvaccinated kids. They're all healthy. They don't have any chronic illnesses. They're not on daily chronic medications. And vaccines can cause harm or kill you. And that includes any of the vaccines, individual vaccines on the pediatric schedule, any adult vaccine, and of course, the COVID shots.
So this has been a very disturbing time in history when people don't want to talk about the truth and people want to shut down somebody that has any dissenting voice. Have you found that to be the case as you have been very vocal? And what has been the cost to you for being courageous in this regard?
I think that the truth stands for itself. And those that have ears to hear will hear it. those that are looking for people, for the false teachers that will say to them what their itchy ears are wanting to hear that doesn't cause any cognitive dissonance, that they don't have to think otherwise, they just need to blindly follow another human being in a white coat. You know, all the things that I've done in the vaccine industry for the last 20 years, and particularly in the last 5 or 6, have all been based on the parable of the sower in the Bible. You know, the parable, the sower sows seeds. Some fall on rocky ground and the birds pluck it away. Those are the seeds that you sow and people don't pay a bit of attention to you. It's like it bounces off their forehead. And then some people get all excited and it starts to sprout. But as soon as they get a little pressure from family or friends, the heat comes on, they withers and dies and they go away. Some really want to do it. They start to research and it goes deep, but the roots aren't deep enough. And when pressure comes, it folds and it dies. But some seeds fall onto good soil and grow up and bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times. So the important thing is to keep sowing seeds. You never know which factoid that you talk about, whether it's a particular vaccine, a particular ingredient, a particular side effect, a particular personal story that is what lands on good ears, and which is the good soil, and starts to sprout. You never know what the good seed is. You never know where the good soil is, and it's not your job to make that seed grow. And so maybe the most important, if you're sitting in a room full of people and there's 20 people sitting in front of you, maybe the most important good soil is standing behind you over in the corner eavesdropping, and you don't even know they're there listening to what you have to say, and that they will then go out and bear fruit. And so it's really just important to keep talking, keep sowing seeds. You know, a long time ago, probably 15 years ago, I stopped taking everything personal. You know, I don't really much care what people think, what they say. You know, I'm doing what God told me to do. You know, when I first started doing this, I prayed and said, Lord, why didn't you give me this to do? It's why didn't you give me Tony Robbins, go team rah, rah. You know, why did you give me this? It's ugly. It's hard. It meets with great resistance. People don't want to hear it. And it was one of the 3 times that I heard him speak to me out loud. And he said, because you're willing to do the work. So 23 years later, I'm still trying to get ahead of the curve and get people to just ask questions. What's coming through that needle? Do I really need to get 4 or 5 shots on the same day? Can you tell me some of the ingredients and what are the potential side effects? And when you ask your doctor those very legitimate questions and they either can't answer them or they bully you into submission, are you still willing to take your little baby, your child, and put them on the sacrificial table and allow them to stab them with needles and inject foreign matter into them because some other human told you to do that? I'm telling you, parents just need to ask simple questions.
You know, as you're talking, I'm flashing back, and I've never talked about it out loud in my whole life, but I'm flashing back to taking my newborn to the doctors and having a really sick feeling about it and feeling not good. And thinking, this is just what you do, and that I shouldn't be so sensitive about these needles, and that it didn't make sense for me to be having this angst inside my spirit about it. And I honestly do believe that those vaccines were detrimental to my children. And very sad at this time. And I hope that shows like this and your words and your courage to speak up and tell the truth, that it does help others.
Well, it really, you know, I've done this all these years, Laura Lynn, because I've really want, not only because God said, I gave it to you to do because you'd do it. Okay, I'm in. I'll do it, right? And so, but I've worked all these years endlessly to try to get ahead of the curve, to try to get people to stop before their child is injured. Because generally when people wake up and shake their head and go, what just happened here? Somebody injected something into my child and now they can't speak. They can't walk. They have seizures. They can no longer eat. They have massive allergies and eczema. Their brain is no longer functioning. They were the happiest child in the world and now they're crying all the time or banging their heads. And the only thing that happened was somebody injected something into that child. What I really have tried to do with all of these thousands and tens of thousands of hours is to get ahead of that curve so it doesn't happen. I mean, I know when COVID started, I got way ahead of the curve and people really listened to me. And I know there's millions of people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me the platform to be able to do that. Because I did. I mean, I carpet bombed the neighborhood. I did over 600 interviews in 18 months. And I usually do about 30 a year, you know, just to try to get ahead of the curve to warn people, do not do this. And a lot of people listened about the COVID shot. I wish that more people would listen about the pediatric schedule also.
Yes, you saved so many lives, including the lady that I was hanging out with today. You really gave them the truth. I'm so grateful for that. My final question before we let you go, and just thank you for all that you do. do you have any idea on what they're planning next or what you're hearing in the wind for what the harm is that maybe some of these people that used COVID as, you know, to hurt us, what might be happening next? What will they do next?
Well, you know, they've saber-rattled about Marburg viruses, which is Ebola. Ebola is the condition caused by one of the hemorrhagic viruses in the family of viruses called Marburg. You know, they've been playing around with that for a few months now and threatening that. You know, they went through the monkeypox thing and nobody paid much attention. And I hope that a lot of people will say when these pathogens come out, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. Isn't going to happen. I'm not falling for that nonsense again. I'm not going to allow them to use the fear porn on me to make me so afraid that I was willing to do anything to not get sick and maybe not die. Well, if the one thing you should have done for sure was open your Bible, because if the Bible says more than 300 times, fear not, I think if God bothers to repeat himself that often, it's probably pretty important. So maybe you should have been analyzing your fear and getting and asking the Holy Spirit to remove that spirit of fear from your body. So that's what we need to think about going forward is what are we going to do to armor ourselves? You started by reading Ephesians, you know, Ephesians 6. Yeah. What are we going to do to armor up to protect ourselves from the fear porn that they will try again? So I'm not so sure that they will do another pathogen. They might, because that's what they know how to do. And that's where the countermeasures come in. I'm really much more concerned about what they're going to do to the economy and the central bank digital currencies, because once we succumb to that and we give in, we're done. We're done as a society. We're done as countries around the world. We are permanently enslaved through the central bank digital currency. I think they will crash the economy. They will make it harder and harder to work and to eat and feed your children. And, you know, it's the Hegelian principle, right? Problem. Crash the economy. Reaction, government, do something. Okay, here, just sign up for the central bank digital currency. Get your vaccines whenever we tell you to. Eat just the right amount of calories. Go kill all your animals so that they're not contributing to global warming and to the carbon load. And of course, live in your enslavement 15-minute city, so that you will never be able to travel again. You'll never be able to go to the other side of town to eat dinner, have your family. It's like the Berlin Wall. If your family's on the other side of town, you only can see them so many times. If your job's over there, you can only go so many times in the year. You'll never be able to travel to, you know, Europe, Asia, Indonesia, the Maldives, Hawaii. You'll never be able to do that again, ever. Once you succumb to the central bank digital currency, the 15-minute cities, and allow them complete and total control over our lives, that's more frightening to me than any possible pathogen that they might try to wizard out there upon us one more time.
Wow. Well, I sure appreciate you. You are saying exactly what I believe the world needs to hear. I concur with you. I support and 100% stand with what you're saying. And let those who have eyes to see, let them see. And may those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And for the rest, we just pray that there's a great awakening. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, thank you very much for your voice, who you are, and for loving God and following his call on your life. Your destiny has changed the world like an Esther in the land. It has changed the world. And so we're all very grateful for you. Thank you for giving us a bit of your time today.
You're welcome. And if you want to see more about what I do and where I go, yes. everything hooks up back to drtenpenny.com. Our podcast, our store, our apparel store, my events, my speaking events, a lot of the things that I've done, everything centers from just going to drtenpenny.com, drtenpenny.com. And if you want to hear more about what we're doing, that's the place to go.
That is awesome. Thank you very much for sharing that, and may God bless you and enlarge your territory. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Dr. Tenpenny.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. What an incredible day. It's an honor for me to be able to speak to these world changers, people that literally took their voice and have stood in the gap as we've been confused and wondered, you know, what's really going on. Thank God for Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I'm so appreciative of that. I am late to get to an event, everyone. I need to go. I want to say to you that I love that verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Stand true, stand strong. And I appreciate those of you who support the work that we do here at Laura Lynn Live. We have our very wonderful little crew. You know, you won't be hearing voices like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny telling you about the harms of vaccines or telling you what to be aware of in the world. You won't hear that on your nightly news. You won't hear it very many places at all. In fact, it's people like myself that have, me and my husband and our great loved ones and those that support us and stand with us. We've got Shane and Dominique and Toby who help out, and Annika's in the background, and Aaron. These are people that give us a few hours in the week to help us to put together some kind of information that can really help you and shape the way that you see this world. We believe these are desperate times, that we're absolutely in a war. We think that it's a culture war, and that transgenderism has become the new religion, and they're after our kids, everybody. We don't have to take this, and we shouldn't take it. We can't take it lying down. We can't be silent. We can't let them teach our child one single thing. If you need to get your kids out of public school, do it as soon as you can. Find your community, find your people, because until this stops, we're gonna have to give them a strong heads up that we're here to fight for our families, and we will not be silent, and we're not going to sit around and allow other people who will not stand up for us to get into power. And we believe that God is the ultimate judge, and that He is watching. He is watching what we do in this land. If we are cowering to the fear of man, it all boils down to one thing: whether you will be fearful of man or you will be fearful of God. I've chosen to have a healthy fear for God. He is my Father. He is the judge of the world. And when He tells me that there's a certain principles, that there are certain ways that He desires that I live by in the holiness that He requires, I am grateful that I've chosen in my life to listen to that, and that when I fail, as inevitably we as human beings do, that I have the grace, the redemption of God to help me. But as much as I can, I will speak. I will not be silent. I will not be quiet in the face of this evil. And I ask all of you to stand strong as well. And if you go to my website at lauralynn.tv, we do this because we're called by God as well. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny was literally, as she said, called by God to stand in the gap, to tell the truth. That's what we're called to do in our way. And if you appreciate this kind of programming, would you do something really extra special? Would you go to my website, and there's a donate button there, and it'll tell you all kinds of ways to donate. You can e-transfer. You can just go on to the button there, and you can become a monthly or one-time donor. You can make an anonymous donation, and we'll never even know who you are. We don't like that, because we want to say thank you. So I do say thank you right now to those who donate anonymously, but this is the only way we do it. We don't have government subsidies. We don't have people that are, giving us large grants to do it. We just have you. So we appreciate you. And when you make a donation to our work, it means that we can keep bringing knowledge, because the word of God says, without knowledge, the people perish. I love you all, and I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
You know, it's not easy to deliver the truth of what our sick world is doing, but for some of us, we feel that we have no choice. Because if we are silent about these abominable things, then we are letting evil go unchecked, and we cannot do that. For those of you wonderful people who are writing me and are sharing your encouragement, I am deeply grateful. Thank you for all the letters that you've been sending. Thank you for the donations and the support. I found out that in order to speak the truth, you have to become very, very strong. If you would go to my website at www.lauralyn.tv, you'll find all of the ways that you can contact me. Remember, my friends, all is well. All is well. Thanks for joining me.